Sports Yak.
Oh, my heavens!
One host knows sports.
And who's right there?
The other doesn't know sports, but somehow they meet in the middle. Corey Mann.
Get your big butt out of here!
And Indiana Sports Broadcast Hall of Famer.
This one will be relived.
Chuck Freebie.
Forever!
Do you like sports? Because we like sports. Let's talk about sports. It's Sports Yak. Sports Yak. It's Sports Yak.
My guest is Chris Cleveland from the group Stars Go Dim.
What else with Corey Mann? On the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
You are loved.
If your heart's in a thousand pieces, if you're lost and far from reason, just look up, know you are loved. Just look up, know you are loved. When it feels like something's missing, if it hurts but you can't find healing, just look up, know you are loved. Just look up, know you.
I was doing a deep dive on your Instagram, and I saw some photos or videos of maybe production space or a performance space. It looks like an attic. It looks like you might be sitting in this space. I see.
This is my house. Yeah, this is when we moved to Franklin a few years ago. We bought this house, and this was just like an attic. So here, I'll give you the tour.
Yes, please.
So over here is all guitars. There's like a vocal booth in there, amps.
I jotted this somewhere in my notes because I saw the semi wall of guitars. I mean, how many and which one's your favorite?
It keeps growing. I think I bought three more this summer. Somewhere probably around 30 or so on this wall. My wife got me this Duesenberg, which is like an electric for my 30th birthday. I've had that 6 years. I just bought a pink Stratocaster, Fender Stratocaster, I really like, from 1996. And then I found a new Martin in a pawn shop the other day that's really great.
Do you buy them because you actually play them, or are you a collector, or is it somewhere down the middle?
It's a little bit of both. I can play, but since I live in Nashville with the best guitar players in the world, I don't say that I play guitar, because I don't play like those guys do. But I can play. I can get around. It's kind of just become an obsession at this point. If I can find a deal, I won't pay full price for anything. So if I can get, now is like come in half of what, you know, they're worth. So I've never paid full price for anything.
If you're riding, though, with somebody and they want to grab something, you've got amps, you've got guitars.
Cool. When people come in, I say, hey, everything works. Everything's on. Free game. Go for it. And then, you know, we can go any number of directions with all the gear and stuff that's in here.
Chris, is your origin Tulsa, Oklahoma?
It is. I grew up in a little town called Owosso. It means the end of the trail in Cherokee. It's where the Trail of Tears ended. Yeah, I grew up there, lived there till 2017, and we moved to Franklin, Tennessee after that.
500,000 people in that city. You and I get one day together. You're the tour guide. Where are we going to go and where are we going to eat?
We're going to get breakfast, and I'm going to go to my breakfast spot. It's called Duffy's. There's a few of them around town, but it's just like the diner that you expect. You know, the waitress comes up. She calls you honey. She calls you sweetie. She's got a little raspy voice. You know what I mean? That's the vibe. And it doesn't matter which one you go to. It's the same waitress. And you can order dinner if you want, but I'm going for breakfast. And then we've got to get out of there pretty quick because we've got to stand in line for Burnco. We're going to go downtown, hit up Burnco, hit the line, because they're out of meat by 10:30 a.m. And then, man, Tulsa's got a lot to offer. So we could do the museums. We could go to the Gilcrease, which is like one of the best museums, like art museums. We could check out all the Art Deco. Like architecture, if you like architecture, there's an oil boom. Tulsa was the oil capital of the world for many, many years. And so lots of buildings, lots of really cool like houses and things like that. If you really want to get Oklahoma, though, we could go out to the lake. We could do some fishing or maybe go out on the land, ride some four-wheelers, shoot some guns, you know, all that kind of stuff that Oklahomans do.
Is that how you grew up?
Yeah, we had a little farm on the border of Oklahoma and Texas that we go down and do that. And then my parents live on a lake now. So when I go back home, I'm on the lake the whole time. So I love outdoors, all that kind of stuff. I was never a hunter, but we always like would, you know, shoot guns for fun and that kind of stuff and grew up with all of that. Yeah. So we kind of lived in the city, but would have some of that country stuff around. And then I don't know, I'd say we had to get some good Tex-Mex. And so we go to one of my spots, probably in downtown Broken Arrow. There's this place that my family would go to quite a bit.
You said you and your family, I'm hoping you bring mom and dad because I'd like to meet them.
If we ate at home, then mom would have a whole spread. She'd be like smoking meat and doing the whole thing all day long. And if we were in Salina, we'd have to go to Pigging Out. It's this like drive up place. You can get like a burger, fries, a drink for $3.50. I mean, it's unbelievable. You could also get like, I don't know, a burrito or a milkshake or like Italian food. It's like just one of those things that has everything. And it's all $2. So Oklahoma's pretty great. I mean, we're all in.
If dad is driving the boat while you and I and the family is tubing, what is dad playing as the soundtrack on the boat? Because he's the captain. It's his choice. What do you think he chooses for us?
Man, my dad was one of those guys that when he got saved in the 80s, his radio had to get saved too. So so he's one of the guys that turned in like all of his records, but he kept a few. He was like, Jesus, I love you, but I don't quite love you enough to let go of my Yes and my Led Zeppelin. So he's got like a few of those records still held back. And I've never asked him. I actually need to ask him. Said, Dad, did you just not love Jesus enough? You know, what was it? And but he always had, what record was it with the Zeppelin, like On Fire, coming down?
First album.
Yeah. So he kept that. He kept some Yes. He kept a couple Who records.
He sounds like a good man, a real good man.
Something like that. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Only child or siblings?
I'm one of three. I'm the middle, the favorite, the poster child. You know, got an older brother. He's a couple years older. Got a younger sister who's 5 years younger.
Is there a connection that I've dug up between you and the band Pillar?
Yeah, I guess. So Stars Go Dim started in 2007, and it was a side project. Like, I was in another band, and some
of
the guys...
Name of the band?
It was called Sweet Memorial back in the day, and we did, like, piano rock music. Yeah, don't look it up. You're not going to find any music. If you do, then congratulations. I had done a radio event for Pillar. They were doing, like, an acoustic thing, and they needed somebody to come play piano. And so I went to this event, and this... The crazy part of it was in like SIR in Nashville. This brand new kid, he was like 17, which I think we're about the same age. I think I was 18 or maybe a little older, was opening up, and he just killed. A kid named Leland opened the whole thing up. And I mean, I'm sitting there like, oh my gosh, how are we going to go on after this kid? He just slayed all of us, you know, right as he was coming out with like Sound of Melodies and like all that kind of stuff. So I kind of sang behind Pillar all these songs, because they weren't really a sing band. It was like rap rock, you know. So, and then played piano to all their like heavy rock music. And I guess maybe a week or so later, their bus broke down, and a few of them were in a van thinking like, hey, maybe we should start like a pop side project thing just off the cuff. And they were like, well, what about that kid that played for us? He sang pretty good, you know. So out of that one gig, actually, those guys called me up, asked me if I wanted to be in this side project, which became Stars Go Dim. And the guy who was running house, front of house, the soundboard, he had just taken a job at this mega church in Tulsa. And I wound up getting a job at the church that he was at because they needed a worship leader. So he called me from the same gig. So at the same time, I started working at this church called Asbury, which is one of the biggest Methodist churches in the country. And started Stars Go Dim in 2007, August of 2007.
You just once again proved the point that I'll always camp out on. It's all about who you know.
For sure. I think that's music, that's business, that's life, right? And I think you want to get like Christian-y for a second. I kind of feel like that's the point. Like, we're meant to be relational people. And I think the gospel and salvation and all of it are about community and our relationship together, especially in music, man. Like, you can be really talented and not go anywhere because you've got to have those connections. You got to know people. You got to be like a decent human being. You know, most people don't get very far in this business if they're not. And it's because people have to like you. So yeah, there's a big community nature to all of it.
Yeah, you really have to kind of learn the art of networking if you don't know it.
Yeah, I think so. And you either pick it up pretty quick or you're not successful. But I think networking, for me, it's more about like just coming authentically as yourself. And I think sometimes we may get the network thing ahead of, like, we get the cart ahead of the horse. And so we're trying to meet people to gain to get to the end goal. Like, oh, I want to, you know this person because he can do something for me. And I don't think that's the place where we want to lead from. But I think if we're secure in ourselves, which is really where it starts, and confident enough in ourselves, just to be ourselves in those moments, then I think the networking thing happens naturally because you're honestly just becoming friends. I think I probably had years where I was insecure trying to network in places just to gain something, right? When you're young and you don't know anything. And that doesn't create great relationship. That doesn't create long-term community. But that takes years and that takes maturity. It takes some of us longer to get there.
And we'll be right back. And we're back. Chris, tell me about your left ear.
Well, I have one. It's a little closer to my head than my right one because it's been cut off and sewn back on about 16 times. I was born, which is pretty funny. It's true. If you look really closely, I was born with a tumor called cholesteatoma. 18 months old, had my first surgery, had a subsequent surgery like every year of life as a kid. Like literally, you know, 8 or 9 years old, I thought everybody once a year just went in, had some work done, you know, came back out. Like everybody had a surgery. And it didn't hit me until I got older. It's like, oh, no, this is kind of unique. I'm the only one in my family that's going in and doing this. And so every time they go in for surgery, they find more tumor, you know, try to fix it and try to fix kind of the hearing mechanisms and that kind of stuff. And my last one was at 21. Now I have bad insurance, so I haven't been back in a while. Yes, and I'm still deaf in my left ear and still something I deal with on a daily basis. But I don't know much different. I've always been deaf. I haven't ever experienced anything different. So, and I think honestly, God has really used it in a crazy way for me. Because I think when people hear me sing and then know that, they're like, well, I don't, how in the world is this happening? Sometimes there's been these moments for me when, and this happens a lot, but sometimes if I talk about this from stage, you know, people, as they do, they want to be helpful and nice and they really believe and they want to come and pray for me and for healing and that kind of stuff. And it's been an interesting balance for me because, you know, I've dealt with it my whole life. And, you know, I believe that God could heal me if he wanted to, but I've also felt guilty. So I'm like, man, these people are really believing that they're going to heal me. And I don't know if it's going to happen this time. But I always say yes. And I think some perspective changed for me a little bit. It's like, you know, I know that God could heal me in that if he wanted to, but I think there's even a cooler testimony in it that he can use me through it, which is pretty neat. The only downside to it is if you're trying to talk to me and you're kind of like behind me on my left side, mm-hmm. I'm not getting any of it. Like, you just think I'm a jerk because I'm walking past you. I'm not acknowledging you. I mean, it happens all the time. So my friends, once they kind of figure it out and get in it, and they're like, hey, Chris, like, hey, somebody's trying to talk to you. Like, get my attention. So people in high school thought I was a jerk. You know, people, if I'm at a show and somebody's trying to talk to me on that side, just know I'm not really mean. I just can't hear you.
What yeah. does it sound like? Are you completely deaf? Do you get like a low buzz?
It's interesting because my mechanical functioning works. Or my nerve functioning works. I'm sorry, I got it backwards. Nerve functioning works. So if you put a tuning fork to my forehead, I can hear the tone. My mechanical function doesn't work. So sound from outside of my head to my inner ear doesn't work. I don't have the three bones that connect the eardrum to the inner ear.
Okay.
I've had a what's called a radical mastoidectomy. So like even the bone right behind, if you touch behind your ear, you've got a big bone right there. I don't have that. If I showed you my in-ears, my hearing canal is a different shape and goes a different direction than a normal ear, just from all the surgeries. Mechanically speaking, getting sound from outside to inside doesn't work at all. So there have been moments after surgeries where, like, I've got hearing prosthesis in my head floating around in there somewhere, which is kind of strange, when that thing has connected, or even times when, like, I have a sinus infection or something and things move around and all of a sudden it comes on. And for me, it sounds like listening through a 1,000-foot tunnel, and it's weird. And it's only happened a few times kind of in my life, but I'm like, no, we need to shut this down. Like, it was almost debilitating because my brain has kind of made these pathways too around it to where it's kind of figured out how to work. So for me now, like, I use in-ears or headphones, and really what this does is like create a seal in my head. So if I have both my in-ears in, then I can feel like the bass or something in my head where I'm not necessarily hearing it through my ear, but it's resonating. So there's a little bit that happens there. I have to, like, one of the things I have to do when I'm singing is I have to put a bunch of reverb in my ears, because a lot of singers will pull an ear out and listen to the room and have another ear in where they can get more direct. So I can't ever get my voice direct, or I'll sing it out really fast. But if I wash my voice in reverb, then it simulates the space around me and I can sing all day. I've seen, and I don't know, like, I know my doctor and I've talked a lot, we can do like a bone anchored hearing aid, which is essentially like a Frankenstein vibe where they drill into your head, put like a bolt out, and they could put a hearing aid there. I'm not to the point where I want to give that a shot. I'm hoping I can wait it out. And if I actually need it at some point, technology will be a little further along. But I've seen like these headphones now that are bone anchored where they don't go in your ears. They stick like on your skull behind it. And so I've been interested to try those out and see if those sound quality is any good.
Let's talk to Chris, the podcaster. What's your connection to Tim Timmons other than his awesomeness and it gets on you and you can't wash it off? How'd you two hook up?
He's like a walking bumper sticker. You know what I mean? He's just like, you got all these things and phrases, makes you feel better about yourself. I don't know. And we both got tumors rolling around in us, and it's weird, you know. He's infectious, you know, in the best way possible. Maybe that's not the right word for 2021, but it's Tim and I go to the same church. When we moved here in 2017, we started going to this little church in Franklin, Tennessee called Journey, and Tim was on staff. And so we connected sometime over the last couple of years and then just became friends. And he invited me. Honestly, I think he invited me to do this podcast like as a guest, and then I just kept coming. But we've been doing a podcast called The 10,000 Minute Experiment, and it's really just about like trying to find God in the 10,000 minutes of our week. If we come together for 80 weeks, there's 10,080 minutes in a week, do the math, 10,080 minutes in a week. If we're 80 minutes in a gathering on Sundays, then what in the world are we doing the other 10,000? Does any of this Jesus stuff work in real life? And so we dive into a lot of things like that, different practices to help us like wake up, waking up, seeing Christ in our day. And then we dive in and see if it actually works. And newsflash, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. And we have interesting, at least people we think are interesting, come on and talk about how they do that in their lives and how that comes out kind of naturally. So it's been really fun. I feel like he should cut out like more of the stupid stuff that we say, but he doesn't. So you get a lot of our personality. You get some gold from some great people and some great perspective. And for me, it's been really nice because I feel like in like the CCM world, there's not a lot of space to show the real life of stuff. Part of my story, even, you know, I talk about sometimes on the podcast, it's like, I don't have the Jesus bow for it yet. And so I don't know how to present that yet. And so that podcast kind of offers a safe space to work through stuff like that. And we talk with people who do it all the time. And so we've had some really powerful conversations about grief, about rethinking words like church and blessing and a bunch of Christian-y stuff that maybe we've lost along the way. And so it's been really cool.
Let your heart believe again.
So follow-up question, you said some stuff works, some stuff not so much yet. Give me one that has worked.
Oh, man. This one changed. It's so simple, but it honestly changed my life. And it's a Tim Timmons thing. And it's a breathing exercise. And the more I've learned about different faith traditions, like breath work is actually a big thing in kind of connecting us. And I think if you would have told 25-year-old Chris, like, hey, take a breath, I'd be like, I'll give you something to take. You know what I mean? Like, it's just it wasn't my vibe, but this exercise of breathing in Jesus, breathing out, you have my attention. It's like this moment to say, God, I'm awake. I'm here. I'm present. Really, the whole podcast is like this idea of wake up. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Like, we're living in it now. Don't miss it. This whole thing is not about some place we go when we die. We have purpose and we have like meaning here. Wake up, Jesus, you have my attention. And man, it has made life for me so much, so much better. And there have been a lot of little like breathing exercises kind of like that just, you know, pull you back on course, help you wake up, help you realize and be thankful. You know, all of these things that they can do. It kind of self-aligns you and rights you in some ways. And I really enjoy that.
Please ask me a question.
Okay. What do you think the point of Christian radio is?
What is the point of Christian radio?
And what's your purpose in that?
The songs that you sing are the words I wish I were able to say sometimes to my Savior. But the more talented individual has figured out a way how to put pen to paper and write heaven on earth and you are loved. I'm just the party MC, the guy at the gate going, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. You got to go listen to this. Listen to this quote. Listen to this Bible verse. Kind of a street preacher, a hope dealer. My pastor who passed away a couple of years ago. The guy was just a cheerleader. His gifting was cheerleader. And he made me feel, Chris, like I could accomplish anything. And I feel like that's what people need more than ever when they flick on the radio in the morning is, let me know it's going to be all right. Play me a song to remind me that there's hope. And who is this Jesus guy? And tell me more.
Yeah, I love that. You know, the older I get, and I may have said this a little bit more, the more communal I see faith, like in general and in everything. And what you're describing to me is blessing. We did a whole thing on the podcast about rethinking blessing. Never once in the Bible is it talked about as a like a monetary or a possession thing. But blessing is calling out what's already there. So you're cheerleading, right? You're cheerleading for people, for other things. And then it's also the process of being made whole or holy. And here's the cool part about it. When you cheerlead and you say, hey, you've got to see this song. You've got to hear this. Come check this out. Let me tell you about this. Let me call out this truth. Let me do this. Then what's happening is you're blessing these people, these listeners that are hearing your song. And then there's a reciprocal part of it. You're being blessed at the same time that you're blessing. And it's this continual thing that happens. And it can only happen in community. It can only happen in relationship. It can only happen when we're awake, when we're saying, Jesus, you have my attention. that's when we can go and say, okay, now check this out. Now, hey, I know I'm loved. I know I'm loved. So now I can go and love others with the same love that I've been shown. And when we do that, when we're the cheerleaders, when we're in that reciprocal nature, our blessing loop, that is heaven on earth. And that's honestly what my life is all about at this point. Let people know they're loved so that they can love. And when they do, they bring the kingdom right here to earth. That's what we're trying to do in our music when we give it to you. And by you calling out those things you're seeing, by us putting it down, by y'all throwing it on the radio, people hear it. It's this continual feedback loop of blessing that happens that has nothing to do with anything we gain or can get, but everything to do with speaking truth and calling out what's already there and being in the process of being made whole and holy.
Many thanks to Chris for giving me his time, and thanks to Curb Word Records for their connection to Chris.
What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network? Leave some feedback, write a review, hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.